Good morning. Happy Easter. Thank you, and welcome to First Baptist Church on this beautiful new day. We are so glad to be together, glad that you are with us, and we welcome you. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while, and we hope that you find yourself at home here. I want to say a special welcome to our oldest church member who is here this morning. Isabel Lewis is 101, and she is here. Welcome. It's so good to see you, and happy Easter. And we're going to invite everyone this morning, before the morning is over, to fill out one of the connection cards in your bulletin. This is a chance for us to connect with each other and to help you connect to each other and to opportunities that might be of value to you. And you will have additional opportunity later in the service to fill this out and put it in the offering plate. Also, I want to make sure our children and their families know that following worship, we have an Easter egg hunt. And you will just go right out this way and follow the signs to the church schoolroom, and you'll get your instructions there for this fun opportunity. And everyone else, we also hope that you will join us downstairs for a little bit of fellowship time following our service of worship. You can read other announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert, and I invite you to join me now in our call to worship. Dear friends, I bring you the best of news. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Living God, we were in darkness for so long, and now rejoice in light and hope that this resurrection brings. Let us not forget all that we have learned in these most difficult days, even as today we are filled with gratitude for the life and joy that today brings. We pray in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Thank you.
from Colossians. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, this is the day that you have made. We do rejoice. We are glad. Alleluia. Living God, in love you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. By love, you broke the power of sin and death when you raised him from the dead. Raise us, O Lord, from death to life, from sin to love, from despair to hope, from fear to faith. Raise our eyes to see you and lift our hearts to the truth of your resurrection power. Trusting that power, we pray for all who suffer pain, fear, grief, anger, depression, addiction, guilt, or anything that threatens to oppress or overwhelm or defeat. Yours is the victory, O Lord. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory and the goodness. Trusting that goodness, we also lift to your care those whom we know to name. We pray for John and Anna Moyer, for Jenny McKeachie, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Dottie Kassler, for the friends, family, and co-workers of Mike Borma, for Mary Faye Grange, Valerie Nebbia, David, Tim and Ripple Lee, Claudio, for Bill Sanford, Bob and Barb, for Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, the Jones family, John Wallace, and Mrs. Rice. Trusting your love, we offer you our private prayers in silence. Gracious God, beyond anything we can hope or imagine, you have broken all that would keep us enslaved. You have set us free. Help us to believe it and to live it. Help us to see your good news set loose in our world. Help us to be your good news set loose in our world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who lived and died and was raised all for our sake, and who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, will you stand, please, for the reading of the gospel? This reading begins a few verses before the one listed in our program. The next day, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pontius Pilate and said, Sir, we remember that that impostor said while he was still alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, otherwise his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you can. And so they went with the guard of soldiers and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There he will meet you. This is my message for you." And so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. But suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated, and it is my high honor to invite the children, please, to come forward. Time is with Zane.
Good morning. I hear in this story, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they call her, the Marys, they go looking for Jesus. They go looking. Now, I don't know if they brought binoculars, but they go looking for Jesus. And like often happens, Jesus is not where they expected him. They go looking, and if we think about where we find Jesus before he dies, well, maybe you might have to turn. Maybe Jesus is over here. Oh, I think they find Jesus with Zacchaeus, with the people who make choices that are good for themselves and forgot to make choices that are good for others too. That's not where we expected Jesus to be. Maybe Jesus is over here. Maybe Jesus is over here with the woman at the well, breaking all the rules about how people are supposed to interact with each other. Maybe Jesus is there in an unexpected place. Maybe Jesus is with those who are needing healing, who aren't feeling like themselves in their bodies or maybe in their minds. We see that that's where Jesus is. And then, Jesus is not just with the adults. Jesus is with the kids. We see that too before Jesus dies, that Jesus is in the unexpected place of being with the children, and the grown-ups in the story think that's kind of surprising. An unexpected place. So we see Mary and Magdalene and Mary looking for Jesus, but Jesus isn't where they expected. When we think about Jesus' new life, God making Jesus alive again, if we go looking for Jesus in our world, how are we going to find Jesus? We have to be Jesus in the world. And to be like Jesus, we have to go to the unexpected places. We go and we be Jesus to those who are alone, who are hungry. We go be Jesus to those who need a friend. We go to the unexpected places with the Jesus who is risen and who is alive. We have to be Jesus' feet. Can you put your feet out? I want you to grab a hold of your feet. Did you hear that when Pastor Paul read that gospel reading? He said, they grabbed Jesus' feet. Can you just grab your own feet? They grabbed Jesus' feet and they worshiped Jesus. And then they went out and they were Jesus' feet in the world. Let's pray together. while you hold your feet. Can you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus' feet. That went to unexpected places. Help us be Jesus' feet today. Amen. Kiddos, if you're in first grade or younger, you may go back to your parents and they might bring you up to childcare if you'd like. You're all welcome to stay. All right, we're going through the music.
It is funny how they tried to hold back resurrection. These nervous little men, no sooner than Jesus was buried, began to worry. Why, if we're not careful, some very dangerous happiness could break out. Ecstatic music could happen. People saying, "Christ is risen indeed." And so the little men go to the governor and say, "Sir, you need to put a guard up at that grave." "Why would I do that?" "Your Honor, it is rumored this man predicted he wouldn't stay dead. What if his associates sneak away with the body at night and go around saying he's alive again?" "Sir, we need security." "Security? Yes, sir." "Well, then take some soldiers. Go make it as secure as you possibly can." And so off they go with this little platoon of Roman soldiers to the tomb. Big stone already covers it, but now they put a seal on that, slather it thick with wax, and the seal of the Roman Empire pressed in. And then the troops with weapons and armor take up positions to make the world safe from people saying hallelujah. What's behind that? Religion is. These are clergy types, hell-bent on keeping the tomb shut tight. Which is odd, since people in my line of work are supposed to be about the mystery, about the freeing, insuppressible spirit. But religion does have a way of trying to bolt down the door against wildness, newness. So religion set up a guard at the tomb, and so does the empire. The state and all collaborating systems, corporate, economic, military, societal, most of which are founded on anxiety and feed on it. They cannot have people being fearless and utterly free for new kinds of loyalty. So empire and religion come together to fend off the rumor of resurrection. Maybe among those vigilant soldiers is a little piece of me and a little piece of you. I mean, isn't there something in us more than a little bit wary of all this stuff being real? Christ, in fact, alive and at large and giving power to walk away from anything holding us back from the total claim and absolute liberation of divine love? You sure you want to be fearless? Wouldn't you prefer a life just a bit more managed, controlled? So yes, maybe a piece of you or me is among the guards around the tomb, the big guys around us. But how funny we look. Little line of people with helmets on our heads holding up stop signs to a tidal wave. Or maybe putting all our heaviest stuff on the ground and pushing it down with all our might to prevent an earthquake. Which is how Matthew's gospel describes the resurrection. Earthquake. The guards feel the earth begin to move beneath their feet. The ground rolls underneath them. This blinding figure appears, an angel rolling the stone away from the tomb they had just sealed tight and sitting on the stone. And the soldiers, seeing it, feeling it, shook with fear, and in Matthew's words, they become like dead men. Can you feel what that's about? Listen. The Easter story is not just about the man Jesus, who is good and wondrous and died unjustly, being raised back to life by Jesus to show us something. That would be too much narrowly about Jesus. And the point of the Easter story, likewise, is not the fact that when you and I die, we get to go to heaven. That is way too much about us. The message of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is this: all powers, external or internal, that oppress, abuse, enslave, impoverish, intimidate, and otherwise deal out death, these may do all their worst, but they cannot stand. They may lean with all their might against the powers of divine freedom, joy, love, and life, but they cannot hold. Crucifixion, blown away. Oppressive religion, empire, shame, dehumanization, arrogance, blown away. The angel pushes away the stone that stands for all of that and sits on it. In Christ, God's life-giving love rocks the world and wins. The news of Easter is the shaking of the world. And now here come the women, Mary Magdalene and another Mary. And they are the opposite of all the soldiers are put there to represent. The women have no defenses, no armor, no weapons, no authorizing power. They do have broken hearts and a vision for the world that for now lies in ruins. Coming to the tomb, they see the angel. And he says to them, don't be afraid. The scriptures neglect to add, but I have heard that the angel at this point looked down at the soldiers passed out on the ground and said, you boys better be afraid. For everything you stand for is being shaken. He said to the women, don't be afraid. I know you were looking for Jesus here, where all the powers of death had put him to stay, and he's not here. See the place where he was. He is risen from the dead. Now go and share the news. And so they run. And the text says they were running with fear and great joy. Fear. The soldiers had shaken with it. The angel said, no need for it. But of course they feel fear. The world is being shaken. The difference, the crucial difference, is that the women's fear is spiked with joy, laced with rising gladness. Then all of a sudden, there's nothing but gladness, for there he was coming to meet them on the very path they're running down in fear and great joy. You know what he said to them? He said, hi. Our English translations will have it that he said, greetings. And the older ones will say that he said, behold, or all hail. When in fact, the word he uses is the everyday word that everybody used to say, hey, isn't it wonderful? Christ, risen from the dead, the first word out of his mouth is morning. And they fall to the ground. And how could they not? For their earth was shaken. They fall not with terror, as some will do. They fall in awe-struck love and hold on to his feet and worship. There are tears. There are rushed words of praise. And there is great laughter. For many of us, this will turn out to be all about whether or not we are in fact afraid. And if we are afraid, what we will permit our fear to do. As the women worshiped at his feet, Jesus said to them exactly what the angel had said. Don't be afraid. And for the first time in their lives, they didn't need to hear it anymore. The powers that put Jesus to death and set up a guard against resurrection All their choices were driven by fear of the new, fear of the immensity of life that God in Christ set loose in the world, fear of the wildness of joy. The powers that propagate that fear and feed on it around us and within us, they will not stand, for love has already defeated them. And as for those of us who have heard the news and wish to embrace it as we've never done before, let the fear in us be laced with joy, refusing to live as if this world is unrocked by resurrection. In the end, what conquers fear will be joy, and joy is the gift of the living Christ. Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu was at the forefront for many years in the cause that ended the oppressive racist regime of apartheid in South Africa. In the final days of that struggle, when the success was drawing near, but tensions were running very, very high, a freedom rally had been called to occur in Cape Town, and the government made sure it would not happen. So Desmond Tutu scheduled a worship service that day in St. George's Cathedral. The room was packed. He was preaching a pretty powerful sermon, when all of a sudden, in the middle of the sermon, hundreds of policemen came in, lining the walls, armed, some of them with notebooks, taking names and writing down what was being said. Tutu kept right on preaching, but came to a point at the end when he directed the police. He addressed the police directly, and he said, "You are powerful. You are very powerful. But I serve a God who cannot be mocked." And then he gave this incredible smile that Desmond Tutu had, and gave them the warmest, sincerest invitation. "And now," he said, "since you've already lost, I invite you to come and join the winning side." And do you know what happened next? He began to dance, and the whole congregation erupted in dancing and singing. And they all went dancing up the aisle and out of the church and into the street in great celebration. Dear friends, in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, God has shaken the world and still shakes it. In fear, the soldiers fainted. But to those who came grieving and searching, the angel said, "Don't fear," and Jesus said, "Don't fear," and the women's fear gave way to great gladness. Let it be the same for you. Let it be the same for us all. For love has won, Christ has risen, and Christ is leading the dance. Alleluia. Well, and if there's no need to guard our lives, guard our hearts, guard our hopes, there's no need to guard our wallets either. We believe in the wildness of joy. Christ is alive. We are alive. In our joy, fresh faith, new gratitude, we make our offering.
Oh.
ever-living, ever-loving, everlasting God, raise us with Christ to live, freshly delivered from every inhibiting fear, from every lack of inspired imagination, to claim what you offer and to make it our hope, our life, and our eternity through Christ the risen Lord. Amen. Beloved children of God, set free and sent forth, we live in the privilege of extending to others the peace of Christ. Let us offer this best of gifts for one another now. The peace of Christ be with you.
Go in boundless peace.